Blog Talk Radio.
And here we are. This week, the number of new jobless claims has gone down this week. That's four out of the last five. Will it last? Okay, we'll only talk about it for a minute. Also, retail sales were unexpectedly strong in September. Happy days are here again, almost. In what may be the most symbolic story of the week, sludge escapes a pipe and pushes its way through part of Hungary all the way to the Danube River. Human and industrial waste is about to pollute one of the jewels of the world. Where's the outrage exactly? A court rules in Michigan on whether the Commerce Clause of the Constitution allows for the health care financing reform bill that was passed last year. The judge said it does. I guess the shorter headline would be Obamacare wins in court. The lion is filing bankruptcy. In a recent poll, although more folks oppose gay marriage than support it, that opposition number is under 50% for the first time. Christine O'Donnell, the former dabbler in witchcraft, who is the Republican candidate for the Senate in Delaware, that is for the U.S. Senate in Delaware, says she's been a victim of character assassination. Yeah, only it's been recordings of what she said that have done her damage. She may be the first person in history to assassinate her own character. It was announced that arthritis is on the increase and obesity increases may be partly to blame. Gee, you think? Let's talk a little about obesity and how everyone wants to go to heaven. The actor who played Eric Estrada's partner on Chips has been charged with securities fraud in connection with alleged manipulation of so-called penny stocks. Larry Wilcox, who played John Baker, is accused of manipulating the price of the publicly traded shares. Hopefully he won't be arrested by Ponch. GOP gubernatorial candidate Meg Whitman will soon offer her former maid on eBay. And Lou Dobbs may place a bid. The former CNN anchor who made a name for himself by opposing illegal immigration and those who hired such immigrants is alleged to have hired illegal immigrants on his property. Presumably this is because slavery was no longer legal. Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea, welcome to Speaking of Everything with Jeff Bushman. That would be me. All that, news of the weird, this week in history, and our guest, naturopathic physician Dr. Rebecca Welchel, speaking about women's health and hormones, among other things. But first, we wanted to re-invite you to a site that can tell you some things about insurance generally. It's mostly for folks in Arizona, but you might find it somewhat interesting if you're out of Arizona. The website is insuranceandmoreaz.blogspot.com. And again, that's insuranceandmoreaz.blogspot.com. It was written by a farmer's insurance agent who, by reasons of modesty, must remain nameless, but not on the site. Okay. Let's talk about that. As I said, we've got news of the weird this week in history. A lot of interesting stuff. Turns out the first week in October, historically is a pretty interesting period of time. But let's talk about the headlines we discussed initially. The number of new jobless claims, as said, has gone down this week again. That's four out of the last 5 weeks. And I mentioned last week it was three out of the previous four and said in the next week or two I would bet it goes up. Let's find out next week if that bet was good or not. I hope I'm wrong, frankly. But I would expect the first-time unemployment claims to go up at some point in the near future simply because we are not out of the recession yet. And we have not yet seen the end of companies cutting jobs. That'll continue. But the pace of it is slowed, thankfully. The trend line is definitely going in the right direction. And when we mentioned retail sales were unexpectedly strong, same-store sales went up significantly, especially at places like department stores. Granted, they were coming from a low base, therefore an increase is not as big a deal, but still, again, it's going in the right direction. We also mentioned the court ruling in Michigan. We should also note there are a number of other cases wending their way through the courts challenging the law which is supposed to give us health care financing reform and an end to the elimination or the refusal to insure by insurance companies with for folks who have pre-existing conditions. The law was challenged by mostly conservative people, mostly Republicans, who are saying that what they're calling Obamacare is unconstitutional because it's not permitted by the Constitution, it's not mentioned in the Constitution, and that the Commerce Clause, which is designed to allow Congress to regulate trade between states, is not sufficient backing for the law. I have a different argument, there are different beliefs, that is that you don't necessarily need the Commerce Clause to permit that, but that said, the first court to rule on it has ruled against the challengers, but there are some more high-profile cases that are going forward, and eventually, you know, this is going to go to the Supreme Court. And whether they rule based on the Commerce Clause or on some other basis is hard to know, and it's also hard to know, frankly, how they're going to rule. Unfortunately, as some Supreme Court justices have said, they make lousy politicians, and hopefully they won't decide it on political grounds, because if they do, the health care financing law will go away because the court is definitely more conservative than it is liberal. To even use the word liberal in connection with the court really talks about maybe two justices, maybe three. We mentioned the Lion is filing bankruptcy. That's a reference to MGM Studios. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios is now preparing a Chapter 11 petition in bankruptcy. And the idea is to go forward with what's called a prepackaged bankruptcy, whereby everything has been agreed upon ahead of time. And this will result in the takeover of MGM, essentially, by the principals of a company called Spyglass Entertainment, who have brought out some fairly big hits in recent years. But MGM is definitely undergoing some changes. They owe something like, I don't remember the exact number, I just know it's greater than $2 billion to their creditors. So the idea is to get the creditors to approve of a package in which they will get ownership of the new studio, equity, if you will, instead of debt, which is essentially uncollectible. The other story that we talked about that we wanted to explain a little better is the Meg Whitman and Lou Dobbs story. Okay, let's acknowledge we have a kind of schizophrenic approach to how we deal with undocumented foreigners in this country, folks who are living here who don't have proper documents, so-called illegal aliens. This is not the same kind of illegal aliens, by the way, that we talked about several weeks on the show with a science fiction author, but we're talking about the schizophrenic approach to illegal aliens that we seem to have. We have no real objection to having low prices at stores and low costs at restaurants because the restaurant is hiring folks that they can pay less to. But we do object to the idea that these folks are somehow, oh my God, taking jobs that Americans could otherwise have. There are not a lot of Americans who would take jobs as busboys and dishwashers. I'm not saying none, but the numbers are relatively rare, and they certainly would not fill all of those spots were illegal aliens not doing that job. And, of course, not everybody who's doing it now, even if foreign-born, is an illegal alien. That said, the way you can get Americans to take those jobs is by paying more money. If that's done by restaurant owners, since restaurant owners don't like losing money, nor does any other business owner, you can expect they're going to raise prices. They raise prices, you and I pay more. But more to the point, a lot of folks apparently don't mind hiring illegal aliens to do their work on their homes, especially people who are well off who are looking to save a few bucks. Meg Whitman apparently not necessarily knew when she hired her, but apparently hired a woman to be a maid at her residence who was an undocumented alien. And apparently either Meg Whitman or her husband or both found out about it during the period of that employment and kept her on. I don't criticize Meg Whitman for doing that. What I criticize her for is being a hypocrite because she has talked about the fact that people who hire illegal aliens are acting inappropriately and it's against the law or should be and so on. So this has hurt her seriously in her campaign to become governor of California. Frankly, I'm glad it's happened, both because I would prefer Jerry Brown win that election, but also because it shows her for who she is. And in the same vein, though it hasn't been demonstrated conclusively yet, as far as I know, Lou Dobbs is accused of having illegal aliens work on his palatial estate. And if that's true, it really makes him look extremely foolish in light of the fact that he ranted and raved for years on CNN about people coming here illegally and nobody having the guts to deport them, and about the fact that people who hired them were doing wrong. And if he did that, it, I must confess, gladdens my heart. But it more importantly shows, again, Lou Dobbs for who he is. By the way, if you'd like to discuss any of these issues or any others, please feel free to call us. The number is 347-994-3796. And this is my opportunity to also tell you that, excuse me, if you're listening to the show live, you can listen to past shows after you're dead. No, you can listen to past shows in archive form on the same site that you are listening to us live on. And if you are listening to us in archive, you can listen to us live on Thursday evenings between 7:30 and 8:30 Pacific time. And if you're listening in archive edition, not on the Blog Talk Radio site, the website to go to is blogtalkradio.com/Jeff-Bushman. So again, that's blogtalkradio.com/Jeff-Bushman. Okay, well, that's all the promotion we're going to do. Next week, I take it back. We are going to do some bit more of promotion. Next week, we have a guest who's going to talk to us about Nazis. Presumably, he's con on them. He's opposed to them. And about the recent rise in anti-Semitism. And the following week, we are having a guest who is going to talk to us also about women's health, but with a particular bent related to breast cancer detection. I think you'll find all of those interesting. And if not, you can listen anyway. We every week go through News of the Weird, which is found at newsoftheweird.blogspot.com. It's put up by the folks who do the News of the Weird column in several hundred newspapers across the country. But if you really want to have a good time on the web, while keeping both hands on your keyboard and mouse, you can look at newsoftheweird.blogspot.com. And here are a couple of stories that appeared. This one I find particularly interesting. It's not terribly funny, but it is odd. It turns out that atheists outscored people of faith on a knowledge test of rudimentary religion. It turns out that people of faith continue to believe that there are more important things to know than facts about religion. But that really is fascinating if you think about it, and it may be fascinating if you don't think about it. But the odd thing is, or one explanation is that atheists, having studied the stuff more carefully, more fully understand what they don't believe in, as opposed to taking everything on faith without necessarily having knowledge for what that thought is worth. Some FBI agents are being investigated for cheating on a mandatory test on national security and foreign intelligence procedures. That's a little scary. The test was open book, but the problem was that during the test, some of the FBI agents were consulting with each other. That's not considered quite according to Hoyle. And in England, there is a contemporary outdoor sport called dogging. And no, it's not what you're thinking, but it's not far from it either. Dogging involves having sex in public with strangers, and apparently in front of strangers. This is annoying the neighbors in a park area of Surrey County in Britain. One suggestion by the Surrey Council was to scare those folks away who were having sex in the park by bringing in bulls to graze on the grass. Unfortunately, one of the members of the local council suggested that may make these people even more excited. I don't know what he's thinking, but okay. My own thought on this is that there are probably now thousands of American men checking airfares to the UK. And now that I think about it, maybe that's why they call it the United Kingdom. Okay. And, excuse me, News of the Weird often runs stories of what they consider loser criminals, in the sense of folks who are committing crimes who, well, aren't necessarily that bright. And they mentioned the following story in particular. Raymond Roberts, age 25, was picked up in a traffic stop in Manatee County, Florida. He had a baggie of marijuana in a bodily orifice. Okay. No, not his mouth, nice, or his nostril. No, the other one. Okay, got it. Actually, News of the Weird actually referred to it being stuck up his woohoo, W-O-O-H-O-O. But, okay, anyway, Robert admitted to having the marijuana stuck in that orifice, but the other baggie that was there of rock cocaine, he said, well, that wasn't his. I don't know how that got there. Huh? Okay. let's talk about this day in history. By the way, we've got about 9 minutes before Dr. Welchel joins us. And until we do, you can call on these topics. And after she joins us, you can join us on the topics that she and I will be talking about and other related matters. But today is October 7th, 2010. And on this date, October 7th, Arnold Schwarzenegger became the governor of California. Some people refer to him as the governator. The year was 2003. He'll be leaving office, by the way, in January 2011 by reason of being term limited out. He didn't run for re-election because he couldn't. And he will be replaced either by Jerry Brown or by Meg Whitman. It's up to you, California voters. We are in Arizona, so we have no direct stake. But I once shook hands with Jerry Brown's father, if that matters. But other than that, we have no direct stake. But that election is obviously up to you. Also on this date, October 7th, the television program Route 66 aired for the first time. And by the way, that was on CBS. And that told the story of two young men who were supposed to be straight traveling the country together in a Corvette. The year of that show's debut? 1960. Route 66 began in 1960. In that year, that again was in October, Eisenhower was still president. When the show went off the air, it was 1964, and Lyndon Johnson was president. And I don't know about you, but that combination strikes me as odd. excuse me. Now, there were two songs called Route 66, by the way. One was the theme, and no, I won't sing it for you. Please don't ask. I also won't dance. Don't ask me. That was, you know, a pretty tune. But there was also a song called Route 66, which was written by a composer, pianist, and sometimes singer by the name of Bobby Troup. Who was, for a long time, maybe up until his death, was married to Julie London. And Bobby Troup wrote the song that is probably more famous, which involves Route 66. It was sung by, among others, Nat King Cole. And it has the lyrics, when you choose to get your kicks on Route 66. I was trying to come to that. But anyway, that's the song, and that's the one that has the names of a bunch of the towns that you traveled along Route 66 when it existed. Also on this date, October 7th, a New York judge reversed the deportation order of John Lennon. Had he lived, John Lennon would now be 70 years old. In fact, I think that happens later this week, the 70th birthday of John Lennon. October 9th, I am told by our studio audience. Thank you. Or I should say thank you, honey. That's October 9th. This is his 70th birthday. And the ruling date when the deportation order was reversed. By the way, that deportation order was based on his admitted use and fine, I think it was, for using marijuana. Hard to believe that somebody would be deported for that, but that was the case in that time. And that year of the reversal of that order was 1975. And that's all the important dates for today, but not for this week, that we have just experienced. During this week in history, on October 6th, Egyptian President Anwar Sadat was murdered, assassinated if you prefer, but murdered was much easier to type. Guessing on the year of his murder? 1981. That was Sadat. And to refresh your memory, Anwar Sadat had met with the Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin with President Carter. And the people who went about murdering Sadat in part were doing so because of his reaching peace with Israel. He was killed essentially by Muslim radicals, or I should say by radical nutcases who also happened to be Muslim, which would be more accurate. Also on October 6th, President John Kennedy urged Americans to build bomb shelters. Care to guess that year? With Kennedy's presidency, obviously you don't have a lot of choices, but it was October 6th, 1961. Okay. And interestingly, that was a year before the, almost precisely a year before the Cuban Missile Crisis. Again, for what it's worth. Also on October 6th were two other major events. One was the beginning of the Yom Kippur War between Israel and its neighbors. And Elizabeth Taylor married husband number 7. The war started in 1973. The marriage was 1991. Now, Taylor's husband was husband number 7, as mentioned. He had to be in a terrible position. Well, no, not that kind of position, but he was in a terrible position. Can you imagine what he thought he had to live up to? There were 6 husbands before him, among others, Eddie Fisher. Okay, maybe that wasn't such a challenge. I don't know. On October 5th, in this week in history, the first presidential speech was given on television. The year of the first presidential speech on television. 1947. That's right, 1947. Not a lot of people saw it, by the way, because most people in America didn't have TVs at that time. The president was Harry Truman. Any idea who the vice president was? We'll come back to that and tell you in a second while you cogitate over that. Also on October 5th, one of America's most forgettable presidents was born, Chester A. Arthur. It's probably unfair to ask you the year of his birth, since many of you may never have heard of him, so we'll tell you. It was 1829. And by the way, the question on the vice presidency in 1947 may also have been unfair. There wasn't one. Back in those days, now we go very short time without a vice president, and the most recent example was when Spiro Agnew resigned. That was in the 1970s when Nixon was president. Because the 25th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution had been passed by that time, the procedure was in place, and what occurred was the president appointed, and the Senate had to confirm the nomination or the appointment, and that was Gerry Ford. Had the 25th Amendment not been in place and had Agnew resigned, then what would have happened is we would have been without a vice president again. But in those days, we didn't have that that procedure. We have a caller. So let me see if I can, if we can bring that caller on. Are you there, caller?
Yeah.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Hi, what's your name? What's your name?
Jimmy.
Hi, Jimmy. How you doing?
I'm all right, but I just have a question for you liberals. Is that all right
okay.
if I ask a question?
You can ask a question. I don't know if I would necessarily describe myself completely as a liberal, but go for it.
Well, isn't that how you describe yourself on the description here? It says politics progressive.
Yeah, I'm, that's not necessarily the same, but that's okay. I don't want to split hairs. Tell me what your question is.
Well, liberal, progressive, Democrats, all the same to me. But I want to know why you liberals hate America, and you're always out there with your hate speech. And you're always out there with your million-man march and your whatever doodads and such you got out there. I'm tired of looking at you out there protesting in the street, all that garbage.
Okay, tell me I assume you've been listening to the show?
Not really.
Okay, in that case, based on your great feel for the show and your depth of understanding in terms of what we've been talking about, we don't really have a lot to talk about because what I was going to ask you is what I've said that strikes you as hate speech. But since you haven't been listening,
no,
it's kind of
pointless.
You're
describing yourself as a liberal or a progressive.
Yeah.
Excuse me. then I'm trying to ask you a question, because that's your, if you're describing yourself as a progressive, I want to know why you hate America.
Okay, well, I don't, but that would be like my asking you why it's raining.
The hell are you talking about?
Is it raining where you are?
No.
Okay, then my asking you why it's raining has within it a premise that it's raining when it's not. You ask me why liberals hate America. That assumes a premise that liberals do hate America. And it's just as logical as the assumption that it's raining where you are when it's not. But additionally, it also presumes, well, let me try it another way. If I ask you why is it the conservatives are so stupid, that would be unfair, because not all conservatives are stupid, just some of you. So thanks very much for calling. I really appreciate it. Have a nice evening. Okay, that was enlightening for all of us. Anyway, I normally don't do that. Those of you who have listened to the show when we've had callers before know that, but I'm sorry, that was just inane. We do expect any minute. Maybe I should have kept him on until Dr. Welch will call, but Dr. Welch should be joining us momentarily, hopefully. And at that point, we're going to be talking about women's health and things of that type. What we were talking about, though, is the process of replacing, the process of replacing the vice president or president. The 25th Amendment is something that I would commend to you to read, because it's fascinating. And hopefully at some point when I actually have time to keep my butt in a chair long enough, it is a subject of a novel I'm working on. But that's all for another day. Now I believe we are joined, we are in fact joined by Dr. Rebecca Welchel. Hi, Dr. Welchel, how are you?
Hi, doing good, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing great. Did you happen to hear the last caller we had?
No, I didn't.
Oh, well, you missed a joy. Anyway.
Oh.
Okay, but now we're moving out of politics and into something interesting. Dr. Welchel is a naturopathic physician practicing in the Phoenix, Arizona area, and we're going to be talking about the nature of her practice and what she does and an area of specialization. But before we do that, could I ask you please to describe to people, and I'll tell you why I'm going to ask you this question. Not everybody, not every state has naturopathic physicians, so let me ask you to describe what a naturopathic physician is and does.
Sure. Naturopathic or naturopathic medicine is a really unique type of medicine. We focus on treating the cause of a person's problem, disease, or health concern.
Mm-hmm.
We treat each person as an individual, not one size doesn't fit all,
right.
Especially in medicine. So naturopathic medicine is based on several principles, one of which is the healing power of nature. Everything in nature seeks to come into balance, and we're no exception. Naturopathic physicians work with their patients to bring them back into health naturally. We try to use the most natural, safe, effective treatments that we have to bring a person back into balance and health. We treat the whole person, and we also teach our patients how to take care of themselves.
Well, that's obviously a good, broad, understandable definition. Because of something you said, and because some of the people listening may not know, is there a difference, either in emphasis or definitionally, between naturopathic medicine and holistic medicine?
I would say naturopathic medicine is a type of holistic medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Naturopathic doctors are educated in accredited four-year universities. We receive the same medical training in basic sciences and clinical sciences that an MD or a DO might receive, but we're also trained in natural therapeutics. That includes acupuncture, botanical medicine, homeopathy, mm-hmm. nutrition, lifestyle.
Okay. One explanation I'll do just to kick in here is you mentioned the initials DO. That's a doctor of osteopathy, for those who don't know. And doctors, osteopaths have a lot of the same background, but with some additional education as MDs do, and they take a different bent. But and again, then there are the naturopaths, which take a fully more natural view of things. Would you say that's fair?
I agree. That is true.
Okay. Now let's talk about what you primarily do, or what your primary interest in naturopathic medicine is. You basically specialize in women's health matters. Is that right?
That is correct. I really have a heart for women's medicine. I think women haven't been heard in terms of their medical problems. They're told a lot of times, oh, that's normal. You just need to tough it out. It happens to everyone. But things like pain and not having your period sometimes or hot flashes, they aren't normal. They can definitely be remedied with natural treatments very easily.
Yeah. You know, you and I were talking several days ago about hot flashes or other signs, so-called signs of menopause. And the kind of things women in the United States experience with menopause, and you can describe some of those symptoms if you wish, doesn't happen in every part of the world, right?
That's true. I think we were talking about women in Japan and how they have reported little to no menopausal symptoms, including hot flashes, night sweats, change in mental cognition. And then we were talking about how the lifestyle of women in that area is so different than westernized, fast food, poor diet, not very active, high-stress lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah, unbelievable. You were mentioning that sometimes, I don't know if the word prescribe is correct, but prescribe or provide or recommend to your patients who are experiencing some of these menopausal symptoms, a bioidentical hormone replacement. Can you explain what that is?
Sure. Bioidentical hormones have been in the news, and they've been on Oprah. They've got a lot of hype lately.
Mm-hmm.
They're basically hormones that are exactly like the ones that we have in our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
They're the exact same chemical formula. And these can be appropriate for some women, depending on their history of breast cancer, family history of breast cancer, risk for cardiovascular disease. They can mimic the body's own production of hormones by supplementing. This is something that a lot of women are interested in because they've heard a lot about it, and it is appropriate for some women. But
right.
I will say that there are so many natural treatments, so many herbs, homeopathy, acupuncture, vitamins that can really reduce or eliminate the symptoms of menopause naturally and without the risk of hormones.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. You brought something up, but I was going to ask you another question. When you say the risk of hormones, are you talking about the risk of hormones even if they are bioidentical hormones? Are there still risks associated with that? Or are you just talking about the hormones that are often prescribed by allopathic physicians, the MDs?
That's a really good question. And we consider bioidentical hormones to be safer than
right.
the synthetic estrogens and progesterones that have been prescribed for many years now because they are identical to the hormones that we have in our bodies. The commonly prescribed Premarin, those type of estrogens, are much stronger than our natural hormones.
Right.
So to answer your question, like I said, there is a risk associated with any kind of hormone, with any kind of
right.
hormone replacement. So, like I said, cardiovascular disease, blood clots, stroke, breast cancer.
And those are a lot worse than hot flashes.
Right. So, like I said, they are definitely appropriate for some people that have a very low risk of these different complications. But there is still a small risk. We consider them safer. Many consider them safer because they are because they're identical to the hormones we have in our bodies.
Right. And therefore, they're more easily absorbed and they are more natural and they're not this, like, major dose of some kind of foreign substance, which may have some of those substantial side effects that you're referring to.
That's correct. And our bodies know how to handle them, so they know how to eliminate them when we're done using them.
Let me ask you a question which may seem off topic, but I don't think it is. My wife and I talk about this all the time. We see these really young girls, and I mean like 10 years old, who are developed, who have breast development. They tend to be, of course, overweight as well. But you'll see these little girls who are, what do they call this? Some kind of puberty. They call it, precocious puberty. First question is, are you seeing a lot of that in your practice? And the second thing is there a way to deal with that through naturopathic medicine so that this is not something that's happening? Because that can't be good for the kids.
I agree. We have seen that girls are earlier and earlier developing the secondary sex characteristics and getting their first periods much sooner than before. There's a lot of theories on why that's happening. Part of it, as you said, some of them tend to be overweight. Extra fat can actually produce extra estrogen. So that's one theory. Another is our diet now is not what it used to be. We have a lot of fast food.
Amen.
We're not getting exactly what we need, and it throws the body off kilter. And then lastly, there's all around us are what we call exogenous estrogens. They're estrogen-like compounds. Okay. Or xenoestrogens, meaning foreign estrogen, can come from our environment. And one of the big things that we've heard in the news is about plastics. And everything that we have, we drink out of plastic. We microwave our leftover fast food in plastic.
Talk about compounding the crime,
Right. And that can also add to the natural estrogens in our body and give some people some big problems with estrogen because of that.
Okay, so besides the precocious puberty in girls, the consumption or the exposure to all these plastics, the exogenous estrogens, is that having an effect, do you know, on men as well, on males?
Absolutely. I agree.
It's not an agreement. I don't know. I'm merely asking the question because I'm not aware of it. So that was quick, because I would assume that if a male takes in too much estrogen, that's probably, again, not necessarily good for him, although it may allow him to show his more feminine side, I suppose. But are there some negative health consequences related to that?
There are, definitely. Too high estrogen in males can lead to prostate problems. This is something that hasn't really hit the news yet, as much as precocious puberty or bioidentical hormones. But yes, males can be definitely adversely affected by exogenous estrogens, mainly targeting the prostate and enlargement, BPH, possibly prostate cancer as well.
Okay. You need to, if I may ask you to give us what BPH stands for.
Benign prostatic hyperplasia.
Okay, I wasn't a test. Your memory, it's just that, you know, if you say BPH, some people don't know what it is. So I just wanted to ask you to go ahead and do that. You know, we all get involved, no matter what we do, in using initials for things that are, you know, common to us, and we think everybody, but some people just don't have the same kind of, you know, knowledge, obviously.
Sure. Well, let me explain.
Please.
BPH is a condition where the prostate, the male's prostate, grows to a larger size than what's natural for it.
Mm-hmm.
As men age, their prostate naturally grows a little larger. But mm-hmm. with BPH, it can cause problems with urination, with erections, things like that.
So it's not something any of us really want to get.
Correct.
Yeah. And so what you're saying is that our exposure to the estrogenic compounds around us may be having that effect, which may, I don't know if prostate cancer or BPH is on the increase, but I assume from what you're saying it probably is.
I am not familiar with the statistics of how much of an increase there is, but I know we have been detecting a lot more BPH, a lot more prostate cancer because of increased technology and more awareness, which is good because then we can really help those people.
Right. Well, let's get back to your area of specialization, which is women's health. What do you do when you do see a young – oh, and by the way, one of the things – I assume you're aware of this, and we reported it on the show, I don't know, a month or two ago, whenever it occurred in the news. But there was a study, and I believe it was in Britain, though I'm not sure, that suggested that high-fat intake in kids led to early puberty in girls and delayed puberty in boys. And that you know, I don't know if it's meaningful, but from what you're saying, that could also be related to the effect of the fat on estrogen content in the body, I guess, or maybe there's something else that I'm not thinking of, obviously, and I don't know if it's known what that causation would be. But in any event, what I was going to ask you is if there's anything that can be done when you have some, you know, 10, 11-year-old girl who's developing the secondary sex characteristics you mentioned.
To address your comment about high-fat diet, there's also hormones that are given to our animals that we eat and then become part of what we take in.
Yeah.
So it's definitely possible that with hormones being pumped into the cows and the chickens and the pigs that young girls could get more estrogen than they need.
Right.
To address your question about is there anything to do to prevent this
or reverse
precocious puberty? Yeah. I don't think there's anything to actually reverse it, but it's definitely a signal that the body is giving. Something is going wrong here. Things are happening too quickly. So at that point, from that danger signal, you can work with a young woman with checking out her estrogen, making sure she has a healthy diet and lifestyle, make sure that she is set up for success for the rest of her hormonal life.
Yeah. That can't be easy for you, being a practitioner, trying to tell people to, you know, the parent in one case, and of course then the child, to change the way they're living, I would assume. You can tell me, but I mean, is that difficult to get people to make those changes?
In some cases, yes. I find that the best way to really convince people that something needs to be done, that there is a change that needs to be made, is to talk about what they want their future to look like, where this could lead, I know, and it's sad, where this could lead if it keeps going the same way. That kind of gets people thinking and gets them ready to change their life so that they don't have to continue with these health problems. There's light at the end of the tunnel. A better lifestyle can change your health dramatically.
Yeah. You know, I will share with you, it's, you know, obviously I'm more interested in what you have to say than what I have to say, and I expect that's true of everybody who is listening as well. But one of the things that I've noticed, I've had a number of years ago, I had a weight problem and have lost weight and kept it off for now, I guess, a couple of years. And I had a conversation with someone today about a completely unrelated subject, and she shared with me about her current weight problems. And when I said I used to have that problem too, she said, "What did you do?" The truth is, I was reluctant to tell her because what I said was that it's a case, and this is what I was mentioning in the earlier part of the show. I didn't talk about the details, but I was saying everybody wants to go to heaven, and the rest of that sentence is, and nobody wants to die. Everybody wants to lose weight, be thin, be healthy, but they don't want to change anything about what they're doing. And you know, it's that old gag about the definition of insanity is continuing the same behavior and expecting a different result. But you know, and I imagine you see that all the time, not just in terms of the thing that I was emphasizing before, the precocious puberty, but in a number of ways, people come to you for obviously not just the specifically gynecological issues, but they come to you, and other naturopaths, of course, but they come to you for general health issues. And one of the, you know, and I'm sure you probably see a lot of people who say, tell you that they feel they need to lose weight, or you can see in them that they need to lose weight, and getting them to change has to be difficult.
Yes, it is difficult. And one of the principles of naturopathic medicine is to treat the whole person and mm-hmm. treat them as an individual. And different diets and different lifestyles are what's best for one person is not best for the other person. There are tons and tons of diets out there on how to lose weight. You can
right.
do the high-protein, high-fat, low-carbohydrate diet. You can do right. the high-carbohydrate, low-fat diet. And what I found is not everything works for everyone.
That to be true.
I know you and I spoke, and you
right.
said that you've gone totally vegetarian, and it has
yeah.
changed your life, and how
sure.
wonderfully healthy you are now, and how much
yeah.
better you feel.
Sure.
Some people will definitely benefit from a diet like that.
Mm-hmm.
But some people will still need to have meat in their diet, or they can't
mm-hmm.
give it up. So what we try to do as naturopaths is meet the person where they are.
Mm-hmm.
What can you do? Let's take you one step. Let's get you another
right.
step closer. Let's get
mm-hmm.
you eating whole foods. Let's get you eating as much organic as you can to keep out those
right.
toxins.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get healthier, cut out the fast food, drink more water, things like that have
yeah.
amazing
no.
results.
Yeah, no, the subject of weight loss and health obviously, you know, has had meaning in my own life. But what I was alluding to when I said I know that to be true, I know that for some people, I will use myself as an example. I one of the things I cut out was anything connected with yeast. So that includes sugar and alcohol. Cutting out alcohol, frankly, was not a major sacrifice. But the thing is that that had a real beneficial effect for me, but that's not necessarily true for someone who doesn't have a sensitivity to yeast. I mean, obviously most people consume too much sugar, but that's a different issue. That has to do with calories and other things that sugar affects. But what I'm hearing from you is that just talking about complex carb and low fat, or low carb and high protein, and therefore somewhat high fat, different things work for different people, and it is an individualized kind of thing.
That's very true. It is individualized, and like you said, you have a sensitivity to yeast and possibly mm-hmm. gluten. One thing that naturopaths do that MDs don't often do is we do a food allergy or a food sensitivity test
mm-hmm.
where
mm-hmm.
we test you and see what your immune system is unhappy with in terms of food.
Right.
There's And there's an antibody, a compound that your body makes as an immune response to attack something.
Mm-hmm.
IgE is an antibody that makes an immediate allergic type reaction. When people are allergic to peanuts and strawberries and their face swells up and they get hives, this is the kind of reaction they get. But the body
mm-hmm.
also does a delayed response, and that antibody is IgG. That's not often tested, but can definitely give people problems. So we try to, if we think that something the person is eating may be causing their health problems, then we try to test both IgE and IgG to see what's really going on. And
now,
I did want to say that
mm-hmm.
you said, you know, one size doesn't fit all. So true. What you said, and then what you said about sugar,
yeah.
with cutting out the sugar, that is a one size fits all.
Okay, yeah.
I have to say, sugar causes inflammation in the body when consumed in too high amounts. Inflammation in the body causes immune response. It causes plaque formation. It causes
mm-hmm.
so many health problems. It draws energy away from you living the life you want to live and puts it into fighting the effects of sugar. I had to
yeah.
say that. I'm a naturopath.
No, no. I hear you. And obviously that's the case. You mentioned the formation of plaque. There are, as I'm sure you know, but let me just say, seek your agreement so that the listeners hear it, that there is some good science that suggests, and a lot of people who believe, that the primary culprit in the risk of heart disease is inflammation rather than, for example, cholesterol. Not completely discounting cholesterol, but that inflammation is a far more serious problem.
I do agree. I absolutely concur. Inflammation causes so many things to go haywire. And actually,
yeah.
cholesterol can be a response to the inflammation. So
mm-hmm.
when you're tested and your cholesterol is high, it's a warning sign that something isn't right. So
yeah, and so then what you do is you flood your body with statin drugs, right?
So cholesterol's the signal for
mm-hmm.
some kind of inflammatory response is happening. So you're right, you can't just take statins and lower the cholesterol. It's not taking care of the root cause of the problem, which is the inflammation that's going on somewhere that could be a reason for elevated cholesterol.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I love the commercials. I haven't watched much TV lately, but I love the commercials that used to be on. I assume they still are for drugs like Lipitor for two reasons. One, they start out by saying, if changes in diet and exercise are insufficient, there's Lipitor. And the second thing they say is that at the end is that reducing cholesterol has never been proven to reduce the risk of heart disease and heart attack. Well, there's a couple of things that are interesting. When you say when exercise and diet changes aren't enough, nobody does that. What happens is when they get high, they don't change their diet and they don't go exercise more. They say, okay, doc, I'll take that prescription, which the doctor has been pushing on them, the MD has been pushing on them anyway. And the other thing is, if it's not proven to reduce the risk of heart disease and heart attack, why are you bothering to take it? I mean, that makes zero sense. You know,
I think it is really funny how that happens, that people don't change for whatever reason. They don't see that they need to change or think they don't have the time or the energy, or maybe the rest of the family wouldn't go along with the change, even though it would be so healthy for the rest of the family too.
Yeah.
And doctors, I know every doctor just wants their patient to get better, and I feel
right.
like statins is really the only thing, the only tool that a lot of doctors have.
Uh-huh.
They don't have the time to talk with their patients about what is a healthy diet, what kind of exercise is good for you, how often do you need to do it, and then to check back in. Say, I need
yeah.
you to come back in. I want you to be healthy. Let's talk about this, and then you follow up with me.
Right. I've got to tell you, we used to belong to this HMO, which shall remain nameless, and there was a doctor who was a very sweet man who we would occasionally see, and very nice man, but he would come into the room, the examination room, still smelling of cigarettes, and he was probably about 5'7", 5'8", and he had to weigh about 280 pounds, okay? And, you know, you wonder about anything he's going to say in terms of health. I mean, how can you help wonder about that? I'm not saying that weight problems are necessarily indicative of and by themselves of someone who is not a good practitioner. That's clearly not the case. But you have to wonder about, you know, what he's going to recommend as being a good health practice when he's so obviously unhealthy himself. You know, and you do see that. I mean, how can you not wonder? You have to wonder, you know, you can understand why a doctor like who is in that situation with those addictions has to be in an HMO, because if he were in private practice, I would assume that fewer people would come to him based on the fact that, you know, if this is how you're living, why should I listen to what you have to say about how I have to change my lifestyle?
Yeah, I think my husband saw the same doctor before he and I met. He described as a very similar doctor.
Yeah, okay. I just want to know, did his HMO organization start with the letter C?
No.
No. Okay, then it's different doctors. Anyway. All kidding aside, the time has flown by. I didn't realize we only have 3 minutes left. So I don't think we're going to have any callers call in, but if anyone does want to call in, the number is 347-994-3796 in the few minutes we have left if you wanted to ask Dr. Welch a question. That's the problem. Is frankly, I was having such a good time talking to you, I didn't really notice the time and didn't invite people to call. But that's okay. That means I got to talk to you longer. That was better. I'm so selfish. Anyway, if you had to make, and this is not a fair question, but I'll ask it anyway, if you had to make one recommendation to people in terms of the one thing they could do to improve their health, besides coming to see you, of course, in Phoenix. By the way, Dr. Welchel, let me just get the spelling on your name. It's W-H-E-L-C-H-E-L,
That's correct.
Whew. And so if anyone is in the Phoenix area and wants to look up Dr. Rebecca Welchel, they can do that. And your practice has a website, too. Is that correct?
That's right. My website is fireflynaturalhealth.com. Mm. And I work out of the Phoenix Holistic Health Center, which is located in Ahwatukee near the I-10 and Elliott, and their website is phoenixholistichealth.com.
Okay. There's a friend of mine who lives in that area, and I once said he was trying to give me directions to his house, and I told him, I now know what Ahwatukee means. And he says, what's that? I said, it's Indian for where the hell am I? But that's a whole other story. Anyway, but that's the phoenixholistichealth.com, and that would be a way to get to Dr. Welchel along with the other things. The name spelling is W-H-E-L-C-H-E-L. Anyway, we have a minute, so I'm going to sign off with you. Thank you so much. This has been really informative and, frankly, very enjoyable.
Oh, it's been such a pleasure to be on with you, Jeff. Thank you so much.
Thank you. My pleasure. See, you were nervous for nothing, if you were. Anyway, thanks again, and we'll talk again. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. And for those of you who are with us, it's 90 seconds left. I invite you to join us next week, same bad time, same bad station, here at blogtalkradio.com. Until the time changes in the rest of the country, it's still 7:30 Pacific, 6:30, let me try that again, 7:30 Pacific until 8:30 Pacific, and thank you again very much for joining us, and join us again next week and listen to any of the old shows and archive edition that you wish to. Thanks, and have a great week. Bye-bye.